broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Another one that you might want to weigh in on is this. It's a very interesting one, and that is generous Christmas gifts and donations which could trigger and can trigger tax obligations. Catherine Furry is head of CPD Consortium, and she speaks to us about this. As many of us love giving and receiving gifts, but the South African Revenue Services is equally interested in these gifts of kindness, especially when they come in the form of large sums of money, luxury cars or shares. Catherine Furry, a very good evening to you. Thank you for speaking to us, and I hope that you have had a good or happy new year so far.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity, and good evening to your listeners.
So under South African tax law, donations, how are they categorized along with their thresholds?
So donations are quite specific, and donations tax is quite specific. So it is categorized as its own tax, and I think that's really important. It's not the same as income tax. And so the thresholds are also quite different. And essentially, I don't want to give everybody a fright. If you've given a gift over the festive season or you're planning on giving a birthday present, it's not always going to be subject to donations tax, but when it is, it's usually at 20%. And then if we make donations over 30 million, so a person has the opportunity to be that generous, then the rate goes up to 25%.
So the implications for the person giving the gift and the person receiving the gift, do they differ?
Absolutely. So I'd first like to talk about the person who's giving the gift, because that's where the main tax consequences arise. So the person who is giving the gift, we call them the donor, the person who is making the donation or giving the gift. And that's a person who's giving something essentially without expecting anything back in exchange. So the first thing that they have to think about is donations tax. As I said before, it's a completely separate tax. It has to be paid by the end of the month after the gift is given. So for example, a parent might donate a 5 million rand apartment to their child for their birthday during December. The parent will need to complete the form, and it's called an IT-144, and make the payment by the end of the next month, so by the end of January. Then, if the gift is something other than money, they also have to think about other tax consequences, such as capital gains tax. So there's quite a lot to think about. It's also quite important, because that person who is giving the gift, you can't give all your assets away, because you have to keep enough to actually be able to pay that donations tax. Then there's the person who receives the gift, the happy person, I hope. And if that money or the asset is a genuine gift, then it's going to be tax-free when we get it. So when we receive the luxury car or perhaps a yacht, we don't have to pay any tax on that at that point. But we have to remember that if the donor doesn't pay their taxes, the donations tax that they have to pay, then SARS can come after the person who gave the donation or gave the gift, and also the person who received the gift. So quite a lot to think about. The other thing to remember is, once we've received this generous donation, if we then use that, for example, money or that apartment to earn income, like interest or rent, then we're going to have to think about tax as the recipient generally.
So I was intrigued by, if, for instance, you said a parent gave property to a child, there would, I'd imagine, be a difference between purchasing a property for a child or maybe waiving the right to a property, in the sense that, you know, it becomes part of their inheritance. Is that still then considered a donation?
It's a very important question. And you mentioned inheritance. And I just want to emphasize that that's quite, it's related, but it's different. So if we leave, for example, a house, our house, to a child through our estate, then that is going to be subject to estate duty and not to donations tax. And essentially, donations tax was really put in place to prevent people from giving their assets before they pass, to avoid estate duty. And that's why the percentages are actually the same. But really, if the asset is left in this, then that in a will, for example, then that is going to be subject to estate duty and not donations tax, even if I donate the asset to my child, but the donation only becomes effective when I die, then that's still going to be in the estate. Whereas if I give an asset, or and that also includes certain rights, to my child or to another person, and it is a donation. So there's that element of giving something for free, some kind of property or right, that's when we're going to have a donation.
And the basis of the valuation, is that made by SARS? And I'm just thinking of a gift of a car, for instance, the value of which decreases the minute it drives out of the dealership. So how do they come up with those valuations?
Absolutely. And so the Income Tax Act tells us how to do that. And it's a very important question. With money, it's easy because we know what the amount is. I have donated 5 million rand to my friend, for example. But when it comes to assets, like you mentioned, a car, we need to get the value right. And what we're looking for there is what we call the fair market value. So we're looking for keywords like between a willing buyer and a willing seller and an arm's length transaction in an open market. So you mentioned that a car will start to lose value as soon as it drives off the showroom floor. What we're looking for is the fair market value at the date that the donation becomes effective. So really, with the car, at the date that the donation is in place, and I suppose one could say the keys have been handed over now. So if it is, for example, a brand new car, that would be quite easy to determine. If it's a second-hand car that may have diminished in value, then we'd need to look for the market value. And SARS have indicated they've issued a guide recently, which is one of the reasons we're talking about, to be able to support the value. And that documentation can be required, and they can also question that value, and their rules around how that would happen. But it's a very, very important matter. What we also see with this concept of arm's length is, as soon as we are giving the asset to somebody, for example, a child or a sister, then that arm's length becomes an issue. And we've seen that taxpayers might try to make the donations tax less by pretending to sell the asset, but actually it's for much less than the market value. And at that point, SARS can step in, and the difference between that fair market value and what the person who gave the gift actually got in return, that difference is going to be a donation.
Now, I don't mean to split hairs here, but as you mentioned, timing is everything. So, at what point do you fill in the form and declare this donation? When, and let's use the car scenario. So, obviously, the amount is less once I drive it out of the dealership. I would not have written it in that person's name. But as soon as I get out of the premises, I then hand it over to the person. So when does SARS consider you compliant? And I'm just trying to understand if there is a point where a donation such as this would be exempt.
Absolutely. So the first thing that we're looking at, if we talk about the car as our example, if I buy the car and it's in my name and I give it to somebody to use, then that's not going to lead to donations tax. So really what we're looking at is I go to the dealership and I buy a car for that person on their name, and then that is when that donation would take place. If I own the car and I then want to give it to somebody, to gift it to them, then we'd be looking for, usually we'd be looking for a deed of donation where I actually stipulate that I'm giving you the car. And with a car or fixed property, we're also going to formally change ownership and fill in the paperwork. But it would essentially be at that time, and that's when we have a donation. And then what you mentioned there, the exemptions are terribly, terribly important. And as I said right at the beginning, we don't want to give everybody who has given a gift a fright and, oh, we have to go and fill in this form. It's essentially if that donation is not exempted. So there's quite a long list of exemptions. I think the first one that I'd like to just mention, because I think it's a very, very important one, is for a natural person, we can gift or donate 100,000 rand every year, and there's no donations tax on that. So that 100,000 rand runs essentially from the 1st of March every year to the 28th of February the next year. And so during that time, I can make donations of 100,000 rand. I can choose how I make them, money or assets, whatever it is. And that is exempted, so I don't have to pay any donations tax. Just a couple of things to remember there. You can't take that 100,000 rand exemption to the next year. So I can't say, oh, well, I didn't make any donations last year, so I'm going to donate 200,000 rand this year. It's really use it or lose it. And then the other thing is that we must just make sure that our documentation is in order, especially if we are making a donation to a trust. Many, many people have family trusts or could be trustees. And when there is a donation to a trust, we've seen that SARS is really putting that under a microscope. We talked about this a lot as CPD Consortium in the 2024, in 2024. And for example, SARS, if they do a verification on a trust return, could ask for that form, and they could ask for the supporting documentation. But I wanted to emphasize that particular exemption. If there are any others that you'd like to discuss, I would welcome it.
Okay, I mean, you're welcome to expand on it, but I just now want to look at what you're paying. If
Yes.
you are making that donation, what are the amounts? And also, most importantly, what are the penalties if you don't comply?
That's also really important. So the first thing we do is we go and work out what is the value of the donation, and then we look for anything that's exempted. So the first one is that 100,000 rand for natural persons. That's super important to us. Another one that I want to mention, which is super important, is a donation to a spouse. So if a person makes a donation to their spouse, they give them money or an asset, that is not going to be subject to donations tax. And then they won't have to pay donations tax. There are other things to think about, but from a donations tax perspective, there won't be any. And one that comes up a lot, and a lot of people do this, is the reasonable maintenance of any person. So, and it's important, it doesn't have to be a family member. So if you are helping somebody with their school fees, or you are assisting a person who has fallen on hard times and perhaps is unemployed, that is considered to be reasonable maintenance. And so that would also be exempt. So you wouldn't consider that for donations tax purposes. But if you have made a donation that is not exempted, then you have to declare it by the end of the next month. So it's not at the same time as you do your normal taxes, and the portion of your donation that's not exempted then gets multiplied by 20%, and that has to be paid to SARS. You mentioned the penalties and interest, and this is another thing we've seen great attention from SARS. So taxpayer compliance and meeting our obligations and being compliant, and we don't want to pay penalties. So the first thing that will happen if we don't pay our donations tax on time is that SARS will charge interest from the time when the donations tax payment was due until we actually make that payment. And then if we're a bit naughty and we don't meet our obligations, then there's another penalty called the understatement penalty, which can range from 0% to 200% of the tax, which is really a lot. I think the most important message here is never ignore tax liability and rather deal with it as quickly and honestly as possible. And if a person realizes that they haven't paid taxes that are due, they might also want to consider the voluntary disclosure program that is available under the Tax Administration
All right.
Act.
Catherine, thank you so much. What an education and an important one. And I'm sure it's food for thought for a lot of people who might not even have thought about this at this point. They just thought it was a kindly gesture or a display of love, but it actually does have financial implications. Catherine Fourie, head of CPD Consortium, just speaking to us about the donation tax and your tax obligations with regards to that.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.